This week's parasha is entitled Yitro, meaning Jethro, the name of Moses' father-in-law. This portion covers Exodus chapters 18 to 20 and contains the remarkable encounter between God and the people of Israel at Mount Sinai, including the giving of the Ten Commandments. At this point in time, the Jewish people are on roughly their third month of travel after crossing the Red Sea, leaving behind their time in bondage as Egyptian slaves. Jethro arrives with the wife of Moses, Zipporah, and their two sons, Gershom and Eliezer, who were supposedly sent back to Jethro during the intense confrontation with Moses and Pharaoh. In chapter 18, verses 7 to 12, Jethro heard of the wondrous things the God of Israel had done during the great Exodus, and he freely and openly confessed his faith in him. He rejoiced and offered sacrifices to the God of Israel. Aaron arrived with many of the elders, and they all sat for a meal together, including Jethro. Here is a foreshadowing of Gentiles hearing the good news about the wondrous miracles of Messiah Yeshua, and themselves becoming followers and worshipers of Adonai. There's also a foreshadowing of Jews and Gentiles breaking bread together with gladness of heart and in unity of faith. It didn't make Jethro a Jew. He was a Midianite, a foreigner. But it did make him a worshiper of God and thus a brother in the faith. The next day, Jethro notices that Moses spends his entire day as a judge over the Jewish people, settling legal disputes. Jethro advised Moses to delegate authority when it came to these matters. Moses had been doing it all single-handedly, and it was obvious that he would burn himself out if something did not change soon. Not only that, but the people would likely become frustrated at the long wait for their cases to be heard. Moses needed help, so he wisely took the advice, relying on honest and ethical judges to assist in instructing God's law. We can learn something here. Do not try to do it all on your own. Look to those you trust, those that are righteous, those that are honorable to help you. You do not have to go it alone. In chapter 19, Israel set up camp at Horeb, and God summoned Moses up to the mountain. Once there, God instructed Moses to tell the people of his mighty deeds, and that if they obey him and keep his covenant, they would be a treasured possession, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Moses would pass on these words to Israel and would declare their obedience to God's commands by stating that they would do everything the Lord had said. Moses returned to the mountaintop with their response. God instructed Moses that the people were to consecrate themselves by washing for the next 2 days. And on the third day, he would come down upon Mount Sinai as a great cloud. They were also warned not to go up to the mountain, nor to even touch it, for God's presence would render it holy, and disobedience would lead to death. On the dawn of the third day, lightning and thunder rocked the sky, and the earth shook. The sound of a great shofar blast from heaven was heard, and a thick cloud settled over the mountain. As God descended on the mountain, it burned with his awesome power, and the people of Israel were rightly terrified. Then God summoned Moses up to the mountain. Imagine being Moses right about then. How would you feel as you stood at the bottom of this burning mountain that is shaking to its core with the awesome, unparalleled power of God? At times like that, it is an absolute relief when someone else has chosen to go. Someone else takes on the burden. The people of Israel were very happy to have Moses as their middleman at Mount Sinai, as we should be so very grateful to have Messiah Yeshua as our middleman to God. He took on a tremendous burden for us, the greatest burden, and for that, we should be eternally blessed and grateful. In chapter 20, Adonai gave Israel his Ten Commandments, which would form the basis for a lawful, peaceful, and just society. You are not to have any other gods before him. You are not to make images of so-called gods and offer them worship. You are not to misuse the name of the Lord. You are to set apart and observe the Sabbath day and take a true rest in it. You are to honor your father and your mother. You are not to commit murder. You are not to commit adultery. You are not to steal. You are not to lie. And you are not to covet the things that belong to others. These commandments are simple and straightforward. Now, if we could only obey them. They were not meant to be a suggestion for healthy living, but God's non-debatable law. Our Creator, the one who set us free, is the one who sets the terms. God offered Israel this covenant, and we accepted the deal. We agreed to abide by his terms. In this same way, the new covenant must also be fully accepted. The terms have been set. Who are we to think it is up for negotiation? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? God is the Creator. If you want to be in a relationship with him and to enjoy his eternal blessings of that covenant, you must come on his terms. And what are those terms? His terms are that you confess your sins, you acknowledge that Yeshua is the Messiah, and ask that his covenant be applied to you. Brothers and sisters, if you do this and be obedient to his commands, complete forgiveness and everlasting life will be yours by the grace of our Lord. Shabbat shalom.